I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Here in Washington, Republicans are moving forward with their impeachment inquiry into President Biden, despite failing to provide any evidence that the president benefited from his son's business dealings in Ukraine. This is the House Oversight Committee's second hearing in just 6 months, and it was not without its antics, to be sure. Democratic Congressman Jared Moskowitz showing up wearing a mask of Vladimir Putin, as you see here, and Republicans keeping a nameplate out for the empty seat meant for Hunter Biden, who declined to appear. CNN's Melanie Zanona is joining us now from Capitol Hill with more details on this. Melanie, are Republicans getting what they want from this hearing?
Well, there certainly have been fireworks and some points of contention and a lot of theatrics inside the hearing room. But so far, Republicans have failed to produce any evidence that advanced their central claims about President Biden. Now, some of the witnesses did fill in more details about Joe Biden's interactions with some of Hunter Biden's business associates, but those are mostly described as pleasantries, not direct involvement, not financial profiting, and not evidence of wrongdoing.
You see how NBC, I'm sorry, that is CNN, how they twist what they did present. Well, those were mainly described as pleasantries, just Joe Biden saying, hi, guys, how you doing? And he's there, obviously, at the invitation of his son to kind of show that I do have pull of my daddy, and daddy, who was a VP, can come to these meetings and help arrange things for you going forward, and especially if he becomes president. Because while this was taking place, when he was vice president, and then, of course, afterwards, it continued. I still don't think we have all the smoking guns available. I think there are many more, to be quite honest. But Comer and his group have been going through a lot for a long time. But keep in mind, this is not a trial per se at this point. This is, again, just providing open testimony that many have already been deposed behind closed doors. They want to. The committee wanted to get it out in front of the public for two reasons. One, so you can see if they later bring up statements that show that they perjured themselves. And two, yes, it's a show and an effort to go after Joe Biden in advance of the elections. But there's more legitimacy to this than there was when the Democrats were going after after Trump. And certainly more evidence, bank records, deposits, suspicious activity reports filed by banks. I mean, there's a laundry list of things, much less the Hunter Biden laptop and his chats and so forth that are on all other devices. So there's a lot there. Those of you who are familiar with the TV show of days of old, Perry Mason, you always knew that in the final few minutes of Perry Mason's show, there was going to be a confrontation with a witness on the stand. They would break down and just, I did it. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen this way, and it's not going to happen in that kind of time span. And in fact, yesterday, for one of the Democrats who were complaining about, we're wasting our time here, we're not getting anything done, and Comer said, we don't rush to judgment like you guys were doing with Trump. I love that response. Well, let's break it down more detail for you. But first, glad to have you on board for hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're here Monday through Friday from 6 to 8. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. It's available for you to watch at News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. And if you miss anything, they're all put up as a podcast later, both the audio and video, at Larry Connors USA Facebook or LarryConnorsUSA.com. Now, I know some folks have said, Larry, you say that every night. I know that. Yeah, but we have new listeners every day, more and more coming forward. So I want to make sure they're aware of it. And we're getting so many more because you guys are spreading the word. I've always said there's nothing better than when it comes to advertising for somebody is than a personal endorsement. And that's why sponsors I take on the program, I add a personal endorsement. And why when you have a friend or family relative and you tell them you've got to listen to Larry Connors USA, this program is not just a lot of noise and talk and speculation. It's filled with facts and details. I'm trying to make sure we do that with every program. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, but I'm not complaining. I just want to make sure we do it right. Now, reference to where we stand with the investigation, the Comer hearing yesterday. Now, there was another witness that they wanted that did not show. Hunter Biden, as you heard, did not show. They had a chair there for him with the nameplate in front of it, obviously highlighting Hunter's not here. And in fact, when they asked Tony Bobulinski, because he was going to be the first witness, if he would like to begin his testimony, and he said, and I know this, I don't know if it's a setup, but I love the way he portrayed it and did it. I mean, it was a wry sense of humor, but I love it. He said, well, I assumed you wanted to talk to Hunter Biden first before me. And they said, well, Mr. Hunter Biden isn't here. So, yes, you go ahead. Bobulinski knew he wasn't there. One of the others missing, though, is another partner of Hunter, Devin Archer. Devin Archer is also a key witness. He did not show up. And why did he not show up for that open hearing? His attorney said, well, we didn't have enough time to prepare. My God, how long have you known this was coming? This is like, I'm going to give you guys a tip. I'm going to tell you this now, so don't tell me you didn't have time to plan for it. December 25 will be Christmas. I know that. December 24 will be the Christmas Eve. So when it comes to Christmas Eve and you don't have any gifts yet for your special person and you decide to stop at some gas station, get gas, and also go in there and try to buy something, and I know a lot of you guys do this when it comes to Valentine's Day and roses or something. Oh, my God, I don't have anything. I want to go to, okay, there's a gas station. I'll get gas, and I'll go in there. Hey, you got any cards or flowers or something? We're going to pack a bubble gum. Does she like bubble gum? Yeah, we'll take that too. So Devin Archer and his attorneys knew the timing of this event. They've known it since James Comer announced we're going to be holding an impeachment inquiry. Did they know the specific date? Maybe not, but do you not think you start preparing your case now? They knew that he was going to be testifying in behind closed doors, and they knew this public hearing was going to follow. So, no, they want to buy off on that and say, well, we just didn't know and we didn't have time. But here's the other thing that's coming out that I want to share with you. And the source here is Forbes, Forbes magazine. And it begins by stating, House Oversight Leader, that would be James Comer, Kentucky Congressman James Comer, House Oversight Leader will invite President Biden to testify at the impeachment hearings. Of course, the probe is yet to identify evidence of Biden directly engaging in foreign business dealings with his son. That's Forbes' account. And it's correct. And the same thing that CNN was saying, well, we hear all these relationships and basically just being a gentleman he was meeting and shaking hands. That was it. But no money. Or as AOC was tearing into, which we're going to hear in a short bit, tearing into Bobulinski about the issue of what's a RICO? What did he actually do? Well, we'll get to that again in a moment. But back to the Forbes article. They're quoting Comer and said that he will be inviting President Biden to testify in front of the House Oversight Committee and, quote, explain why his family received tens of millions of dollars from foreign companies with his assistance. Anybody want to lay Vegas odds on Biden showing up for that? I will tell you what. You give me $1 million, and if he shows up to that invite, I'll give you $100 million back. Larry, you don't have $100 million. No, but I'll have your million, and I won't need to have the $100 million. Forbes goes on to say a no-show from the president would make the most sense. That's right. As his son denied a request last week to testify at the hearing. And points out with attorneys for Hunter Biden calling the invitation, quote, an obvious attempt to throw a Hail Mary pass after the game has ended. When do they think the game ended? Was that the closed door deposition? They got everything out of that? There's nothing else available? Did they ever make such a comment or statement about Adam Schiff when his committee was investigating Donald Trump for, quote, Russian collusion? Forbes goes on and points out, and this is the wording from Forbes, Republicans have struggled to gather evidence of wrongdoing by the president. I don't know that I'd say they've struggled. It's been a case in progress. But that's the way Forbes wrote it. I didn't. I'm not their PR agent. I'm just reporting the way they said it. Republicans have struggled to gather evidence of wrongdoing by the president and have cast doubt on the practicality of the impeachment inquiry following testimonies from witnesses who said the president had no involvement in his son's business dealings. I don't know where they come up with that and say that Republicans have cast doubt on the practicability of impeachment following testimonies from witnesses who said the president had no involvement in his son's business dealings. The one that would be closest to the president and would know firsthand, that would be Hunter Biden and probably Brother James and Tony Bobulinski, who was also one of the deals, and Devin Archer, who hasn't shown up, and all of the chats and laptop information that Hunter Biden had. I just do not know how they try to figure that out. But again, the testimony from Jamie Raskin, Democrat of Maryland, New York Congressman Dan Goldman, they all claim that Bobulinski was simply lying to Congress, that Bobulinski claimed to possess evidence of the president making a profit from his son's business dealings in China, though the information has not yet been verified. Well, that might be that it hasn't been officially verified, or maybe it has and it just has not actually been presented. And they remind you that the impeachment inquiry into Biden was formalized in December. And they're going to take it step by step. They are up against a deadline, though, and that would be the November elections. Because if the House does not continue to be held by Republicans, all of this will go up in a puff of smoke. Everything will be shut down. And also, if Republicans don't gain control of the Senate, an indictment will fall as flat as the indictment in against Donald Trump. Because that's just a grand jury type indictment. You have to go to the court, which would be the Senate this time, to get a verdict. And you will get a not guilty verdict if you don't have it properly staffed by those who believe Biden has been dirty in dealing with these various entities and a threat to national security. Now, another thing that was brought up in the testimony yesterday was the fireworks and actually the laughable approach of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez when she was grilling Tony Bobulinski.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir?
Specifically. You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question.
No.
RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
statutes. Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is the crime?
It's a category of crimes that you're then charged
You have charges.
A long hundred.
You have charges. Sir, please
want me to
name
the exact statute under RICO?
Yes.
Well, it's funny. In this committee room, everyone's not here. There's over 18
All right, sir, I reclaim my
lawyers
time.
That
I
went
reclaim
to law
my
school.
Time.
All these lawyers in this room, they know what RICO is, and you don't seem to know. as she said, well, that's not the crime. It's a category. Yeah, you can say the same thing about theft. You could be stealing a car for specifics, or money, or food. It's all theft. But let's break down the RICO statute since she wanted to be dealt with and actually taught about it. The Racketeering, I should say, Racketeer-Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. A U.S. federal law providing for extended criminal penalties and a civil cause of action for acts performed as part of an ongoing criminal organization. This is what brought down a lot of the mobsters. The head of the mobs, they weren't actually carrying out any specific crimes other than ordering someone else to do it. But RICO ties them all together, says everybody that had their finger in the bowl is now being charged. The article primarily covers the federal criminal statute, but since 1972, 33 U.S. states and territories have also adopted their own RICO laws, which may or may not be a clear reflection of the federal statute and our other states, but they all have their own. You want examples of racketeering? Drug trafficking. We know Hunter was involved in drugs. Now, was he trafficking? That has not been brought up, and that would not involve Joe Biden unless he were getting money from it. Money laundering. There is a big key issue for Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and family because they had all these shell companies set up. Why do you set up a shell company? Because you're trying to hide the money. Which brings us to the other part. If you're not reporting the income from that, the IRS will come after you. That's how they ended up getting Al Capone in prison. Couldn't prove anything else about him other than the fact that he was not paying his federal taxes and reporting what he did incorrectly. And not simply evading taxes and avoiding. There's two different differences. You can avoid paying taxes if it amounts to a loophole that you can use. But evading taxes is you scheme to get around the law and hide it. But you're going to have the Democrats continue to cry foul that this isn't really a good inquiry. It doesn't really mean anything. And the same ones who were basically backing Adam Schiff and the impeachment inquiry into Donald Trump are claiming this case does not have any evidence. What evidence did they present? Oh, yeah, a bunch of people just came forward and told of something and something and something this, and that was it. In this case, there are bank records. The money's traceable, fungible. And if it ends up in a Hunter Biden and then a Joe Biden account, yeah, you've got questions, legitimate questions. We'll see how far it goes. Coming up with the illegal immigration, we know why the Democrats want so many illegals in the country. They're hoping they will end up voting Democrat. But just of the existing legal Hispanic population, that is not looking good for the Democrats. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local. Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019-941 and newstalkstl.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Must be the whiskey. I've been drinking to remember and drinking to forget. I got I love you on my mind. I got Jim Beam on my breath and loneliness has got the rest. I've got nothing left within me. Must be the whiskey.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and we were talking about the Hispanics that are already in our nation as American citizens and qualified voters, if they registered, or they could still have time to register, depending on what state they're in and status of that nature. And President Biden is now traveling to states like Nevada and Arizona, trying to double down on securing the Hispanic vote. And the reason he's doing that is because he needs them. Because recent polling are showing there's a shift in Hispanic voter allegiances. We've already seen it with the black voters, and now we're seeing it with the Hispanics. We saw it developing last time around with Trump anyway. But a New York Times Siena College survey found that Biden was losing support among Latino voters, who now account for nearly 15% of eligible voters. That's a record high for them. Biden continues to lose, according to the New York Times and Siena College survey. He continues to lose this crucial support among Latino voters, with an increasing number of them saying they are more likely to vote for former President Trump. Boom. That's right in your face. We're more likely to vote for Trump than we are you. Well, how and why have we reached that point? To help us get an understanding on all of this is my guest, and he has an excellent viewpoint on it because he's with a group that constantly oversees it. Alfonso Aguilar, glad to have you on board, sir.
Happy to be with you.
And again, the group you're with is constantly monitoring this as far as a Latino vote anyway. You are the director of the Hispanic Engagement at the American Principles Project.
That is correct.
So the survey I was just citing, the New York Times Siena College poll, showing that Biden is losing so much of them, and they're 15% of the eligible voters. What's Biden doing wrong? And now he's going in Nevada and Arizona trying to boost it. What can he do to correct it?
Well, he's doing everything wrong, frankly.
I didn't mean to set up a softball question, but you knocked that one out of the park. Go ahead.
But, you know, the reality is that assimilation is happening, continues to happen in America. And what we're seeing is Democrats thought that Hispanics were going to remain an integrated group in the country. And
A voting block.
A voting block, exactly. And what's happening is that as they're assimilating with time, they're starting to vote like average Americans. And like average Americans, they're saying, wait a second, my communities are, they're not safe. We're starting to see Venezuelan gang members on the street.
Mm-hmm.
The border's out of control. When we go to the supermarket, everything that we need to buy is super expensive. Biden is supporting giving minors access to hormone therapies and sex change surgeries. He wants trans people to play in sports. And they're saying, I didn't sign up for that. We believe in the American dream. Plus, they're saying, you know, that America's racist, that they're pushing this narrative of victimhood at their expense. And they're saying, wait a second, we've seen racism back in our home countries. That's who we came here. And we, when we come here, we see a lot of opportunities. We don't see racism.
Now, so tell me this. Are we talking about first, second, or third generation of Hispanics in the country?
Well, what is interesting, it's happening with every single generation. At American Principles Project, we actually just finished a poll of Hispanic voters in Nevada and Arizona. And across generations, they're all moving towards Trump. It's just really fascinating. The younger Hispanics, like a lot of young Americans, just don't identify with Biden. And then the older Hispanics are very religious. They're people of faith.
Right.
And they're really scared with the radical, you know, transhuman agenda that this administration has embraced.
And on top of that, they're Catholic, so they're anti-abortion.
Well, they're very Catholic, but they're also very big groups of Hispanic evangelicals, which is fascinating. And church attendance is very high. So even an abortion, I think a small majority may say they're pro-choice, but that doesn't mean what it meant before. When you look at their specific positions, they're all against late-term abortion. They want to see regulations, therefore prohibiting abortion after 6 weeks, after 15 weeks. So I think it's incumbent on Republicans to explain our position and say those who are extreme are Democrats who are pushing abortion during 9 months. And Hispanics don't like that, don't respond well to that. So, you know, it's just, to your question, it's just everything. And when Biden goes to Arizona and says, I understand your values, you know, and when you're pushing, you know, same-sex or sex change therapies for minors, they're saying, what values are you talking about? You know, just yesterday, to give you an idea, Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela detained all the campaign advisors, including the campaign director of his main opposition leader. Joe Biden, this administration, lifted sanctions on Nicolas Maduro, tough sanctions that the Trump administration had placed on Venezuela. And that helped Venezuela sell oil and this regime, this authoritarian regime, consolidate power. You know, Hispanics, those who are closer to the immigration experience and to what's happening in Latin America, they see that and they blame Biden for it. You know, they lift sanctions and they turn and they persecute the opposition. And they're saying, wait a second, this guy is empowering all the socialist governments in Latin America.
Well, Biden continues to yell, Trump despises Latinos. He hates brown people.
Wow. Well, it's funny because there's some despising going on, but it's not that Trump despises Latinos. It's actually Latinos despise Biden. That is what's happening. You know, it's incredible. I think they're really embracing Trump, and they can also make a contrast with what's happening right now and with what happened 4 years ago. If you just look at the economic numbers, Hispanic unemployment under Trump just plummeted. It was a record low. But more than that, Hispanic income, household income, Hispanic wages, millions literally of Hispanics left the welfare to enter the middle class. At the end, that is the American dream. Trump delivered.
Yeah, so, but now you've got all these illegals coming in that are moving into those same communities, and they're sucking up those jobs for a lot less money than what's happening to the middle-income Hispanic right now.
Well, again, they're going back to the welfare rolls, which is what Democrats want, right? You're seeing all this illegal migrants arrive in their communities. They're taking resources away. They're taking jobs away.
Bringing crime.
And they're bringing crime, serious crime. And they're saying, wait a second, what is this? See, Democrats thought that Hispanics are for open borders, and they're really not. One of the reasons why they come here is because of the rule of law, law and order. And when they see what's happening at the border, they say, this is crazy.
Now, let's stop for 1 second. There are a lot of those who are now legal and you know, been through various pardons all the way back to Reagan and others that are now part of the system, and they came illegally. So do they not see, well, maybe I came illegally, but this is a different scenario?
Well, ironically, even those people forget with time how they came in. So, you know, the thing is that it is so massive. If you think about it, 10 million people or more have moved to our southern border. And it's not only Mexicans or Latin Americans. We're seeing Africans, Middle Easterns. You know, in the history of recent history of the world, I can't think of such a massive movement of people.
No, there hasn't been one. Now, the other issue is, and I mentioned this several times on the program before, for these last several generations, for the Democrats, the black vote was the that was the one you had to have in your hand. And I've said repeatedly, with all the illegals coming in that you wanted to open the border for, pretty soon the black voters, the black vote, as a block, even though they've also split, many of them, they're not going to be as valuable. In fact, how soon do you think that we'll have more Hispanic heritage versus black or white Caucasian European?
Right. So I think it's already happening with the African-American community. The polling is showing that Biden is also bleeding African-American voters. Now, he may get a big majority of them, but if he goes down to 70% of black African-American support, he has a problem, because they need massive support from African-Americans and Hispanics.
And how much more is he going to need from the Hispanic then?
Oh, he's lost it. I mean, when we're looking at states like Arizona, Nevada, in some polls, Trump, American Principles Project just released a poll today of Hispanic voters in Arizona, Nevada. And Biden and Trump are in a dead heat in both states.
And yet, if I recall, when they first ran, Biden had something like 70% of the Hispanic vote. So if they're in a dead heat, that's really a major move.
That is a problem. That is a problem for them. He cannot – remember, you win Arizona if you win Maricopa County, which is heavily Hispanic. At this point, he cannot pull a big victory with Hispanics in Maricopa County. I don't think he can win Arizona at this point. Nevada, remember, Republicans haven't won Nevada, Republican presidential candidate, since George W. Bush in 2004. Now it's competitive. And again, they're in a dead heat in Nevada. So I just don't know. I think he has a huge problem in his hands.
Alfonso, I would love to do this conversation with you again farther down the road, so we'll plan on doing so.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Take care.
Thank you. Alfonso Aguilar, and again, representing the Hispanic engagement through the American Principles Project. Coming up, what about China and what it's doing? And, of course, what are we doing to hold China at bay? There are a lot of things in play, and it's not just TikTok. And it's crucial. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is a very special deal. You do not want to miss this. A bottle of Angel's Envy engraved with your name. Or maybe get several with your company name. What a great gift for special clients. So you can get one or several. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge STL Facebook for full details. Or just visit Lit in Chesterfield. In fact, I'll probably see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge.
This is News Talk STL.
And we're down we go.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we're talking about China, and of course when Trump made his remarks about China and if they continue to build cars down in Mexico and send them across our border, he's going to hit them with a 100% tariff. Not going to let them into the country free because they are not being built here, for one thing, and secondly, they're still trying to get into our country, and we're trying to slow it down, at least if we can. And he said, I will stop it if I'm elected, but if I'm not, and of course then that's where he suddenly went wild on his remarks, which were obviously taken out of context. But let's look at some facts for a moment here. And the source for these facts, again, I always try to give you the source so I can give it to you so you can follow it up. I was trying to book him as a guest, but he's been pretty tough to set up. Kenneth Raposa wrote this. He is with the, let me get the full title of the group. I don't want to mislead you, but I think it's obviously a pro-American group. And I think it's CPA, which is a committee or coalition for the Principles of America, Coalition for Principles of America. And he points out in this article he wrote just last week, Mexico, or actually earlier this week, Mexico is growing as the new China hub. 2024 exports are already breaking records. Again, keep in mind, this is just south of our border. I'm sorry, if we had a border, we'd consider it south of it. It begins by saying Mexico is fast becoming a new hub for China, offshore investment, and exports. The U.S. Department of Foreign Direct Investment in Mexico has little changed over the years. The U.S. share, I should say, of that. While China's share of the foreign direct investment in Mexico has been rising quickly. The Dallas Federal Reserve estimates that money from China was roughly $1.3 billion in 2022. that was dwarfing what they were getting from the U.S. and Canada. But in October of 2023, now again, that's $1.2 billion in 2022. In October of 2023, the northern state border in the U.S. announced that China's United Machinery Group, which makes diggers and heavy construction equipment, had plans to invest $5 billion into that state, including a factory building. Then they got a solar group said it would invest up to $1 billion in another Mexico state. Then we've got an auto company that actually counts Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway as an investor, entering a new assembly line in Mexico to sell its cars to Mexicans and shipping them across the border to U.S. buyers. This is BYD Auto. BYD Auto. And according to the more recent reports, China's developers are building industrial parks in Mexico to host more Chinese companies. One of them is just 25 miles north of Monterrey. It's going to take a 3,000-acre ranch turned into manufacturing giants for 10 different Chinese companies. And that's going to amount to another $1 billion of investments, and they've done that already to some extent and going to continue. One executive for the group that invested in a manufacturing plant in refrigerators remarked that his company had all the benefits under the free trade agreement due to products being manufactured in Mexico. That's the point that Trump was trying to make the other day. We basically don't have heavy tariffs on Mexico when he was in office. He threatened them, if you don't shut down that border that you're in, if you continue allowing them to gather at your border to come across, if you're not doing your job of enforcing, then we'll begin to hit you with tariffs, so you're not going to be able to ship your stuff in here. Well, they did comply when Trump was president. They were even building Mexico was building a southern wall for its nation. That's right. They were building a border wall, trying to keep out those from the triangle states below them and South America. So they were trying to keep people from coming into Mexico just to even transit Mexico to get to our country. But now all that's changed with Joe Biden, obviously, when he came in and immediately stopped construction of the wall Trump had underway. I know, I hear some of you saying already, well, Trump said Mexico would pay for the wall. That didn't happen, did it, Larry? He never said they're going to pay it dollar for dollar. And what he was talking about, and later clarified, we're going to put tariffs on some of their items in, so we will use their money to build the wall. And the more wall we need, because more illegals coming across, the higher the tariff's going to go up. So we will begin to shut down this illegal immigration. But where are we now? My guest of the previous segment, in case you missed him, he said it directly. He said, I don't know of any worldwide migration like this in the history of the world. And I think that's probably true. I can't think of one not to this level. And Biden's industrial policies, like this article written by Prosperous America, said like the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, as I call it, have encouraged global companies to nearshore in North America in order to gain access to tax benefits. So Mexico was one of the best near shores. And, of course, Canada is another option, as the Bahamas and certainly Cuba. But they say the pandemic lockdowns they saw in Asia led to unrealistic shipping costs that turned many businesses off to maritime shipping. That's right. They decide it's too costly to ship it across the globe. Let's just build the plant there near the U.S., if that's going to be our market, and then we'll just move it across the border. by freight. That would be a big change. And there is a quote here from Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. He and Sherrod Brown, Democrat of Ohio, together, bipartisan, introduced the Stop Mexico's Steel Surge Act. They were going to reinstate a 25% tariff on steel coming from Mexico. Mexico continues to violate a prior agreement on steel tariffs, so they said, we're going to reinstate it, make them pay more. Good. That's a bipartisan act. Sherrod Brown, Democrat, Ohio, recognizes this country has to be viable, and China is an enemy. Which brings us to not just the progress in the shipping hubs and manufacturing hubs being created in Mexico, but what else China is doing to get inside our country. Now, yesterday in his testimony, Tony Bobulinski was asked by James Comer, is there anything else you want to say that maybe you haven't been asked that you think is important for the American people to keep in mind? And here's the response from Tony Bobulinski.
My biggest appeal to everyone in this room is I wish you would spend the time focusing on the fact that the Chinese Communist Party infiltrated the White House of the United States of America through the Biden family. I don't say that lightly. It's not a joke. I was willing to die for this country, as was my father and both my grandfathers and my brother. This is serious, serious stuff. We should be asking how that happened. Take the Biden name and the Biden family completely out of it. How did the Chinese Communist Party infiltrate the White House of the United States of America? Let's start there. Focus on those facts, what they did, how they did it, why they used money, why they used private enterprises instead of military stuff and other stuff. That is huge to our national security.
And you heard him say, just take the Biden family out of the equation. Just look at what's going into China that we're facilitating as a nation, because we're not doing due diligence and we're not making sure we're secure. TikTok obviously being one of them. TikTok by one house of Congress has been told you either divest yourself of the ownership of TikTok, sell it to a U.S. company, or you're going to be banned. You will not be able to be on any platform in this nation. India did this a couple of years ago. Then they, of course, created a different TikTok for just India. But China is not on Indian phones anymore. Their own version is. A new report from CNBC, which crossed a couple hours or so ago, talking about TikTok aside, this is almost like Bobulinski saying, the Bidens aside, look at what's going on with China. It's a national security threat. So the article by CNBC said, TikTok aside, Congress has its eye on the U.S. money going into China. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad they have their eye on it. I want to know if they get their hands on putting a stop to it. Here's how it begins. Greater congressional scrutiny on U.S. investments into China means any new rules or restrictions may outlast presidential terms and become part of U.S. law. And that's what we need. Regardless of who's president or who's in control, we need laws that protect this nation. That is a given. That shouldn't even have to be brought up as something we need to consider. Every member of Congress should be an American first and then be Republican or Democrats. Unfortunately, many aren't. And in fact, many are not even American in the sense of American values. They're all about let's practice and preach and encourage genocide of Jews. I'm looking at a piece that Mike Gallagher, chairman of the House Select Committee, that deals with the competition between the U.S. and Chinese Communist Party, said in a statement to CNBC. He said, I do think Congress needs to step up and legislate an enduring solution. In other words, it will outlast any presidency, any member of House or Senate. We don't want to be changing simply because we have a new show horse in the room. We're going to stick to what is best for the country. And this, I say this without any regard for Trump or Biden. I'm talking about what is best for the country. And which of the two do you think would stand and actually defend our country the best? I have my answer. Is yours Biden? We don't have the same answer. Another piece being brought out by CNBC in this report, saying it's been difficult for the U.S. government to pass sweeping restrictions on investments in China, although being tough on Beijing has been touted as a rare area of bipartisan agreement. So there you have Cotton and Sherrod Brown coming together. They're also looking at American capital that's been funding China's military development. Why would we do anything to help Chinese military? After a few false starts in 2023 that never ended up blocking U.S. investments into certain Chinese companies, some in the House are still pushing ahead. Why would they want to do that? Not with any good intention that's intended for our country. Mike Gallagher again. I do think Congress needs to step up, legislate an enduring solution, because otherwise we're going to keep ping-pong back and forth between different administrations and different executive orders or different regulators saying different things. And, of course, Gallagher is also chair of the House Armed Services Committee. He said, I think at least in advanced technology sectors, we need to cut off the flow of funds. We can't afford to keep funding our own destruction. May I repeat that again? We cannot continue to fund our own destruction. You want to go out, buy the gun, provide the ammunition and the explosives for the guy to go to your child's school and kill your children and all these others? You want to be the one providing that? Because that's what's happening on an international scale if we continue to do this with China. And right now, I don't see anybody pushing back as strong as we need to. TikTok is a start. Let me share an email I got from one of my loyal listeners, Diane, who's got a group of ladies. They sit around, play cards, and listen to Larry Connors USA, or do other things and listen on the podcast. Email today said, from the gun range, a lady say hello. Today, 12 of us took our grandkids to a local indoor range, spent 2 hours with the kids. Half had never handled a gun, but the first 45 minutes, a course on gun safety, a refresher for others, and reminding them it's not the gun that kills or injures, it's the person handling it. And he said after gun safety class, the kids all practiced with their air rifles. Diane, I like that. I like teaching kids in the beginning what a gun is capable of doing, but also having respect for it. My dad taught me that at an early age. I knew the pistol. I knew where the pistol was on the top shelf in his closet. I also knew I do not touch it without him here. Then we go out hunting with shotguns or rifles. And safety first. Safety first. As always, I thank you for listening. Spread the word to your friends and family, will you please? And remember our pledge, one nation under God.